relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
I was planning on having a guest in studio today to explain the world being ignited by the Biden administration, but I just shushed him, and he took umbrage at me shushing him. I thought he was a good friend. I'm going to persevere. I might be talking to myself. But allegedly, somewhere in this studio, we have Michael Doran, former DASD at the Pentagon, the author of a good book, which Jim Carafano says is excellent, called Ike's Gamble. And he is the author of an article that, if I don't read, he's never coming back in studio. That's for sure. It's on Tablet Magazine, The Re-Enlightenment, Doranimated. Welcome back.
I want you to apologize for shushing me.
Go ahead. Shh, be quiet.
No. let me hear you say I'm sorry.
I am very sorry, Michael.
Okay. All right. That's better.
Okay. Let's have some fun first. Before we get serious, let's have some fun because I see it as the second tweet on your timeline. You mentioned somebody called Andrew Yang. And I think let's start here, okay? So Andrew Yang has commented about the situation in the Middle East. And I guess he got in trouble with the Wokarati because then he had to furiously pedal it back. And I think this second statement is a good starting point for us. So this is the man who a lot of people think is really cool and should be president. I spoke to a group of volunteers for the campaign yesterday, some of whom have been with me for years. Many of them were upset with my recent tweet expressing solidarity with the people of Israel. Ooh. First mistake. In conjunction with the violence in the region this week that has claimed the lives of innocents and children on both sides, they expressed to me that they follow and support me for a number of reasons. One is that I'm a clear-headed person who follows facts. The other is that I'm a human being who stands for universal values of fellowship and goodwill. They felt that my tweet was overly simplistic in my treatment of a conflict that has a long and complex history full of tragedies, and they felt it failed to acknowledge the pain and suffering on both sides. They were, of course, correct. I mourn for every Palestinian life taken before its time as I do for every Israeli. Suffering and pain and violence and death suffered by anyone hurts us all. All people want to be able to live in peace. We all want that for ourselves and our children. Support of a people does not make one blind to the pain and suffering of others. Again, most everyone simply wants to be able and to live and pray in peace. Yeah, they do, Andrew. On one side. Sorry, I'm going to stop. And that is what we want as well. I join with millions around the world in praying that the current situation be resolved as quickly as possible, peacefully and with minimal suffering. For those who have spoken to me on this, thank you. Continue to believe in humanity. Mike, I just tweeted one thing out this morning. I'm on the side of Israel, and the terrorists should be damned with hellfire. Am I unnuanced?
You're a little unnuanced. Yeah. Oh. I don't think you could. I don't think you could get a faculty position at an American university.
I know that is a fact. But the thing I underline is, I continue to believe in humanity. Do both sides of this conflict believe in humanity, Mike Doran?
Well, I'm sure that the children who are killed on the Palestinian side also believe in humanity. But the thing is that there's a terrorist army that has put them between their enemy, between the terrorist army and the terrorist army's enemy.
Right.
On the other side, Democratic Army puts itself between the terrorists and its population. That's the clarity that Andrew Yang is missing.
But isn't this indicative of not just somebody who's a naive, what is he, a tech millionaire, naive tech millionaire out of Palo Alto, but isn't it indicative of the quote-unquote policy elite in this city?
It's amazing. I did a very interesting thing a few years ago in 2015 when we had the debate over the JCPOA.
The Iran deal under Obama.
Yeah, one of the candidates, I can't remember who it was, one of the a congresswoman in Connecticut, I forget who it was, had a debate. But she was doing this posing as if she couldn't decide was she going to be
a mock debate.
Yeah, she was showing her own. It was a town hall.
Okay.
And she asked me to the town hall. There was a guy who came in who was for the JCPOA and I was against it. And then it was an electronic town hall. And then her constituents called in, and it was hilarious because all of the really well educated people, you know, hi, I have a PhD in anthropology. I don't understand why Bibi Netanyahu is running our country's foreign policy. And then the guy who writes in and says, calls in and says, hi, I'm a mechanic. I don't understand why we're strengthening our enemies.
Nice.
No, seriously.
It's the truck driver got it.
Totally. This is the strange thing about America today. Is that the clarity, like just common sense? There's a certain kind of stupidity that takes a PhD. You have to be educated out of common sense, and because it's all about you. You have to be nuanced and understanding, and you get into these huge mental constructs that take you down really.
So when you sell, what is the nuance, Michael, of celebrating suicide bombers? For me, that's evil. Well, is there some nuance to a culture in the Gaza and the West Bank that pays terrorists' families after they blow themselves up to kill Israelis? What is the nuance missing?
You know what I think it is?
What?
You know what I think it is? I don't think that for a guy like Andrew Yang or his very nuanced followers, I think most of them don't know anything about what's happening over there. It's all about who they want to be against here.
Through the prism of domestic politics.
Yeah. And it starts with they hate evangelical Christians.
Yeah.
What is unnuanced? Being evangelical. Right?
By the way, what's being unnuanced is being a jihadi. Right?
Yeah, no. Because you being able to see the humanity in the jihadi, you show yourself to be more nuanced than the people who can't. It's all about us here. It's got nothing to do with what's over there.
I just can't wrap my head around it. It's just far too complicated for me. I see evil. I see the... I think it was Baby or somebody else who said, we use our military to protect our hospitals. The Palestinians use the hospitals to protect their terrorists.
That's right. That's it. That's it. Right.
Right?
That's what we're witnessing before our eyes today. Can I add one more element?
Of course. You're here for the flipping next two segments. You better.
Two segments. That's all I get.
First, I can't shush him. Then he wants to take over the show. This is what I have to work with, guys. This is what I have to work with. So talk to us about the moral equivalency argument.
We have to realize what gets lost, because the Israelis themselves are not good at explaining this. The guys, the missiles and the rockets that are behind the hospitals are Iran's.
Yes.
For the American national interest, this is the number one thing to understand.
So let's just put a bow on this. Hamas, West Bank, Gaza. Hamas is, in their founding charter, calls itself a sister organization of the Muslim Brotherhood. That is a fundamentalist, jihadi, global enterprise. And Iran funds Hamas, correct? Am I missing some nuance, Michael Duran?
No, you're not missing any nuance. And the nuance that everyone needs to see is that Iran reaches in underneath these, grabs hold of these organizations, gets a piece of them, funds them, and this is not, they're openly saying, thank you, Iran.
And what is the long-term, what is Iran's goal by funding organizations like Hamas? What do they wish to eventually achieve?
So, ultimately, they want to destroy Israel, ultimately. But they want to destroy the American security system, is what they want to get rid of. They want to be the dominant.
Israel is part of that.
Part of that. But in the short term, they want to, first of all, they want to destroy the Abraham Accords. They want to isolate Israel. We saw under Trump an unprecedented movement of rapprochement between the Gulf states.
Four nations.
Yeah. So Morocco, Sudan, but then also the UAE and Bahrain was what started it.
Which we were told was impossible without the Palestinians.
Exactly. We'll get to the American part of this because Biden also wants to destroy the Abraham Accords. Now, I'm not saying that he's purposely stoking the violence against Israel. I'm not saying that. But he was not in favor of making the obvious move, the next move, which was rapprochement between Saudi Arabia
yes.
and Israel. Because those four countries that we talked about, UAE, Bahrain, Sudan, Morocco, they're all very close to Saudi Arabia.
Right.
None of this would have happened
without
Saudi Arabia giving a wink and a nod and saying, go do it. Now, for all kinds of political reasons and religious reasons, it's hard for Saudi Arabia to make full peace with Israel, especially if there is no peace with the Palestinians. All this is hard. But they were moving in that direction. And the strategic prize here for Iran is to bust that up.
He's Mike Doran, author of Ike's Gamble. His article is The Realignment. We're going to discuss it next here on America First. Relief Factor. If you are suffering from daily pain, just stop and listen to the people, tens of thousands of them, who are getting daily liberation from their pain. Listen to Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. I think you deserve to find out. You know it makes sense. Find out today by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of the 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call today, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
The United States has waged more wars than there are Hamas members. I don't wait for the United States to tell me what constitutes as self-defense and what not constitutes as self-defense. That is not where my moral compass stems from. I don't think the United States is in position, giving all of the genocides and wars it's partaking in, to say something about who has a right to self-defense.
All those American genocides, more American words, wars than there are members of Hamas. A perfect guest for MSNBC, Mohammed El Kurd. Just one more cut. Play cut six, please, Eric.
This is a war crime. This is ethnic cleansing. You know, they can do all their propaganda and say that this is a private land dispute, but it doesn't take much looking at the history of this country and seeing how this country came about. It came about by stealing people's homes and stealing people's lands and destroying people's villages.
So we've got to address these. These are the eternal memes, the talking points. This is occupation. This is genocide. Are we living in a bizarro world, Mike Doran, the author of Ike's Gamble and the latest piece, The Realignment, at Tablet Magazine, where we see Rashida Tlaib in a march recently standing next to somebody with a sign that is equating the state of Israel with Nazi Germany? Is there any debate to be had with people who can't remember who actually did the Holocaust?
No, you can't. We can't debate them. We can't. But what we have to do is we have to get the people who used to see things clearly, who are close to us, back to seeing things clearly. That's the struggle.
So that's what you've done in your latest piece in Realignment. I want everybody to read it. I've reposted it yesterday. You can read it on my Twitter feed, on my Facebook page. We're going to repost it right now. Let's do the the typical Washington thing. What's the elevator pitch of your piece?
The elevator pitch is that everyone is focused on the JCPOA.
And they the
nuclear deal. And they're missing that what Biden is really doing is trying to create, following Obama's footsteps. So first of all, this is the third term of Barack Obama.
Yes. If you look at the characters, the only people, I'm sorry, little Benny, I'm sorry, Ben Rhodes, that you couldn't get back in. Maybe it's because you never had a clearance in the first place. I just had to add that. Sorry.
But he... Forgot about the whole clearance.
He's the only guy. He's the only guy. Can I just go on record? The only guy who the FBI refused to even give an interim clearance. Sorry, Benny. Carry on.
But he's got Ned Price in there, who's his acolyte.
Right.
So he's there by proxy. This is the third term, the continuation of Obama. They're trying to finish what Obama started. It's not the JCPOA. He's trying to create a new order in the Middle East, in which he's cutting a deal with Iran. That's the idea.
So you're from ADASD, okay? I worked in the White House after you. This was my analysis, and you are the expert on the Middle East. I'm a CT guy and a strategy guy. I need you to do the sanity check. For me, and this was the opposite of nuanced, this was the cack-handed, naive, simplistic justification for the JCPOA. They see a rise of Sunni extremism, the Obama team. They see Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Erdogan, and the others, Sunni Muslim extremism or fundamentalism rising. And they do this, like, kindergarten-level analysis that, if the Sunni extremists are getting stronger, the way we have a legacy is we strengthen the Shia fundamentalists, and then somehow it kind of just magically balances out. That's why we have the Iran deal. That's why we release $140 billion to the murderous mullahs in Iran. That is the only logic I saw. Is there anything more nuanced to what they did then and what they're trying now, Michael Doran?
No, that's it. That's basically it.
Because that boggles my mind, Michael.
But there's always been this desire in the American national security elite to cut a deal with Iran. It's been there since the revolution. It was even there under Reagan. You know, when Ollie North End and McFarland went to Tehran with the cake and the Bible, they were there to find the moderates in Tehran. So that desire's always been there. And then once the Cold War was over, when we kind of lost our compass, and they started the 9/11 with the jihadis and so forth, they started, the people who had always wanted the deal with Iran, they thought, now's the chance. Yeah. And that's, so the idea is, the realignment is, we're going to recognize Iranian assets, the Iranian position in all the troubled areas. That means Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and also we're also going to move toward them with regard to the Palestinians as well, where the Iranian assets are, and we're going to start a regional dialogue with Iran. That's what's going on, and the Iranians, they see that Biden is reaching out a hand to them, not just on the nuclear front, but across the board, and they have blanketed the Arab world with all these militias, and they're moving in to take advantage of it.
At the risk of trying to do something nuanced, let me comment, editorialize thusly on this attempt at realignment. You're not dealing with a balancing act between the Flemish and the Walloons of Belgium. This is a very different dichotomy. These are two fundamentalist visions of not just the region and the world that do not believe in peaceful coexistence. The Sunni fundamentalist wishes to eradicate the Shia fundamentalist or the Shia et al. As apostates, and the other way round for the Shia with regards to the Sunni. So how does anybody with a triple-digit IQ even begin to believe this insanity, Mike?
I think again that the real thing that pushes them to think that this is a really great idea is the domestic politics.
And the fact that they know nothing about the region. If you spent time in the region, you'd never say this.
Yeah, there's that as well. But it's also the domestic politics.
Translate that. You got 2 minutes.
So they've got there's a progressive cosmology that says that that we're Team Nuance, and they're Team War, and the warmongers are the evangelicals, the American Zionists, Trumpists. Right. The Trump coalition domestically is teaming up with Bibi Netanyahu and Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia, and they're taking America into war forever.
Right.
And the cause of war is not the factors on the ground in the Middle East. The cause of war is the traditional American foreign policy.
I got to stop here because we've got to just do stop, freeze frame, sanity check. Team Nuance, Vice Team War, us.
Yeah.
Which political party has engaged us in more wars in the last century? The way through. Okay.
But look at what's happened here, right? They said that. Sorry, but you know I only get two segments, so I have to cut you off here.
I'll give you one more.
look at what happened here. When Trump said he's going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital, when he said he's going to recognize the Golan as Israeli, they said the Middle East is going to become
explode. Yeah.
When does it explode? It explodes when the guy comes in and says, I want to reach out to Iran. I want to be more understanding to Iran.
I need to just remind everybody, guys, I know it's hard to believe as you're waiting in the line at the gas pump to fill up your car. It's been 117 days. The world's on fire. The border is a disaster. Russia's laughing. Iran is chuckling. China's ready to go to war with Australia. It's been 117 days. Buy more ammo. Back with Mike in a second.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Have you read Mike's article? If you haven't, he's going to get a little bit salty. Come on, guys, read it. You had the break to read it. Follow him. Dorana made it on Twitter. Get the book. Ike's Gamble, former DASD, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, Senior Fellow at the Hudson Institute. Mike, let's have a little bit of grad school 101 here. How does the region we're talking about work, and what is respected in the region? One of the biggest... I've always said when I'm in the IC, when I'm working with guys from the intelligence community, one of the biggest weaknesses we have as Americans is mirror imaging. We look at Afghanistan, we look at Iraq, like, oh, yeah, that guy says he wants to be my friend. That means he wants to be my friend. We treat others based upon the values we have internalized. Big mistake. This is a different part of the world. So what are the key mistakes we make when it comes to understanding the Middle East, Mike?
Number one mistake, absolutely number one mistake, is people don't start with states.
Right.
They don't start with states.
So identity is not about Westphalian states.
But there's state power. So there is all this stuff. There's all the religion on the ground and all the sub-state actors and the terrorist organizations and so on. But above that is a game of states jockeying for power. There aren't that many states that can actually project power beyond their borders. None of them can organize the region.
And they're not states in the sense of, you know, this is a disagreement between France and Holland. These are different types of competition. Am I right?
Yes, the game's a lot harsher. It's a lot harsher. And everybody's playing for keeps, but the big three are Iran, Turkey,
yes,
Egypt, well the big five, Saudi Arabia, Israel.
These are strategic level players.
Strategic level players are those five, and Egypt not even so much anymore. It's really Iran, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Israel, and everything else is the playground.
And when we go down from that level of the strategic state players, what is it about culture in that region that most Americans do not appreciate? Because it's very different.
Well, first of all, the importance of religion. So, the Middle East is like Northern Ireland. Everybody's identity, their religious identity, is the primary one, whether they believe or not. You know, in Northern Ireland, you are you can be an atheist Catholic. You can be an atheist, but are you an atheist Catholic. Or an atheist Protestant? Right. That's the religious identity is key. But then there's the problem that the region cannot be organized from within the region. It cannot.
Unpack that. That's important.
So there's no power in the region that is strong enough to put together a regional order. There's too much friction. There's no look. The Turks, the Arabs, the Persians.
Turkey wants
all speak
to
different.
Be that. Iran wants to be that, right?
Yeah, they at one point or another in history, you know, Iran was or Turkey
Persia.
Was, but the region is fragmented naturally. And since Napoleon, since 1798, it's the outside powers have been the strongest powers, and we're still the strongest power. We are the strongest power in the Middle East.
And when it comes down to the lowest level, talk to us about the importance of power relations, family, and tribe.
Well, that's it. Then it becomes very, very local, very, very quickly.
And so, what are you measured by? It's not legitimate representative forms of government.
No,
it's strength.
It's strength and your family or clan ties. But the weird thing about the region is it goes so fast from the local neighborhood boss in Basra up to the United States, right? Up to the superpower. So you have the interests of very major powers that are turning at any given moment on profoundly little local things. And that's why when we're talking about what's going on with Israel right now, a lot of people are really wrapped up into the Sheikh Jarrah, the neighborhood
of East Jerusalem.
Yeah. But the real game is Iran versus the United States.
Right.
That's the real game. That's the game we should be focused on.
So I did a radio show for a buddy earlier today, and in the break he said, all right, so do you understand all this stuff about East Jerusalem? Can you explain? And I said, sure, but really it's irrelevant. It has nothing to do with what's really – I can mention what's going on in East Jerusalem. I can talk about the Sheikh Jarrah region and the arguments over who hasn't paid rent, who has paid rent. But it really has nothing to do with that.
It's not.
One more segment?
Sure. Yeah. We have the time?
We do. We got 20 to 5. Are you good?
Yeah. I think I got to go, actually.
See, he comes in here, complains that he doesn't get enough exposure, and then he does that to me. Make a note of that, Mr. G, will you?
I just want to stay employed, that's all.
Okay. In that case, you might want to read his article. It's called The Realignment. The book is Ike Campbell. Superb job. Follow him right now, at Doranimated on Twitter. Mike Doran, God bless. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Do you like what you're listening to? Do you like Salem Radio? If that's the case, support those that make the shows possible, like the great Mike Lindell, the inventor of the MyPillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses its shape. More than 51 million sold. The president uses them. I use them. So does my team. And when I say the president, you know who I mean. DJT. You'll get up to 66% off if you use my name. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Support Mike today. He's a truth teller. He's a patriot. And they want to cancel him. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Our number here, 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. If you missed it, it was fireworks on Capitol Hill yesterday between Senator Rand Paul and that little fascist Fauci. Play cuts.
I do not have any accounting of what the Chinese may have done, and I'm fully in favor of any further investigation of what went on in China. However, I will repeat again, the NIH and NIAID categorically has not funded gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
You do support it in the U.S. We have 11 labs doing it, and you have allowed it here. We have a committee to do it, but the committee has granted every exemption. You're fooling with Mother Nature here. You're allowing superviruses to be created with a 15% mortality. It's very dangerous. I think it was a huge mistake to share this with China.
Jeff, you edited, you looked at that footage yesterday. What did it remind you of a certain Democrat politician from the late 1990s?
The cadence and everything was the exact same. Yeah, of course, it was like Bill Clinton.
So he's playing the Bill, when he says, it wasn't a gain of function that we were funding. Well, what does that mean, Jeff? It means you're funding something else.
Yeah, and there's another cut, too, just the way that we don't have it. The way that he said, we weren't funding gain of function, it was to where he's funding something, but he just didn't believe his gain of function.
So that's the point. The NIH, an American federal institution, is funding to the tune of millions research in the Wuhan lab or professors in America who are working with the Wuhan lab. Now, why does that matter? It matters because the Wuhan Virology Lab is a state institution of the communist regime of China. That's where it should stop straight away. What on God's green earth is the U.S. government doing under Fauci's signature, funding research to do with a lab that investigates viruses, not for America, not for the Swiss government or the Spanish government, but for the communist regime of China, a nation that has publicly, repeatedly, every single day for years, said that their goal is to displace America by the 100th anniversary of the Communist Revolution, which will be in 2049. A nation that has a plan, One Belt, One Road, has a strategy of unrestricted warfare to undermine, to destabilize their greatest fear, which is what? America. Why? Because we are the greatest nation on God's earth, and we are a free nation for now. And that is the greatest thing they fear. That's why Hong Kong is under the boot of the CCP, because the people of Hong Kong may be Chinese, may be ethnically Asian, but under the British, they were free. What on earth are we doing giving them a penny? The Wuhan lab is our enemy. But nobody should be surprised. I have in front of me an article that we've dug up by Philip Magnus from, what is this site called?
Medium.
Pay attention, because you need to know a little bit more about Dr. Fauci. In May of 1983, amid the rapidly escalating AIDS crisis, a doctor at the National Institutes of Health, NIH, promoted a stunning theory about the newly encountered disease in the Journal of the American Medical Association, noting that the same issue of the journal contained an article documenting one of the first cases of the immunodeficiency disease's appearance in an infant. The author sounded an alarm about the, quote, possibility that routine close contact, as within a family household, could spread the disease AIDS. The article took an increasingly speculative turn in promoting this new theory. Quote, if indeed the latter is true, then AIDS takes on an entirely new dimension, it continued. If we add to this possibility that non-sexual, non-blood-borne transmission is possible, the scope of the AIDS syndrome may be enormous. The author of this article has since attained widespread familiarity. The author was Dr. Anthony S. Fauci, a then rising star within the NIH bureaucracy. We now know, of course, that Fauci's theory about AIDS transmission via contact was fallacious. The infant infection discussed in the same JAMA issue involved vertical transmission from the mother to the child during pregnancy. But the damage was done as the media went to work stoking the alarm about AIDS transmission through simple physical contact. Now, I'm old enough to remember just a few months ago all those stories about COVID. Do you remember? Oh, my gosh, those banisters, the metro in New York, it can last on surfaces in the elevator for 72 hours. Where did those come from? Fauci was the risk-averse, doomsaying hack 40 years ago. Now he's the highest-paid federal bureaucrat in America, earning $413,000. And you're listening to him if you're a Democrat. Not here on America First. Stay on this channel.
Hey, Dr. G, I thought I knew what a real swamp was, but this here Washington, D.C., it's more putrid than the bayou at low tide in August.
And it gets stinkier by the day because of people like... Do you remember that beta male Miles Taylor, DHS appointee under the Trump administration who ended up being a fifth columnist who wrote that anonymous piece? I love this. Jeff has just sent me this article from The Hill. What a bunch of hacks. Influential Republicans threaten to form a new party. Who are they? Who are these former presidents? Former chairperson of the RNC? Yeah, here's the list. The organization of New Republicans is led by Miles Taylor. And includes other, this is the Hill used the phrase, influential Republicans in the headline to include, are you ready for this big list? Tom Ridge, Christine Todd Whitman, Mary Peters, Charlie Dent, Ride Ribble? Ride, who's Ride Ribble? Am I saying it right? And Barbara Comstock, the arch-rhino. Well, I'm sure my old boss Donald Trump is just quaking in his boots. Miles Taylor and Ride Ribble are creating a new party of real Republicans. I needed that. Thank you, Miles. You made my day. You're a clown. Let's go to your calls. Howard in Los Angeles, line one. Welcome, Howard.
Yeah, thank you very much. I was telling you, screener, that what the Israel might consider doing is using the embassies of nations that tell it to use restraint, use their embassies as dump sites for the debris created by the rocket attacks.
I'm not sure that's a very gentlemanly thing to do, especially since those embassies, Howard, are technically the territory of the nations whose ambassador works there.
You put it around the outside edges.
Okay. A little bit better. A little bit better. Why do you recommend that, Howard?
There's a limit to the amount of stupidity I can tolerate, and it's been exceeded. I think, like, the media that keeps asking, like, Benjamin Netanyahu questions with the answers built into them, you know, why are you doing, you know, why do you kick your dog?
Yeah, when did you stop beating your wife, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I said, it's about time we maybe have them be introduced to an Easton baseball bat.
Behave, Howard, behave. At the end of the day, your point is well taken. They have the right to defend themselves, and that's all Israel is doing. And the good thing about Israel, when push comes to shove, when their people are in danger, under threat, they'll do what it takes. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem Radio Network, and you're listening to America First. Next, the irrepressible Jennifer Horn.
Yeah, for Duran and Horn.